Last Sunday, we launched our theme. Our theme for 2021 is just these two words. Say it with me. Follow me. And this was taken when Jesus, you know, walking towards one man. He's a tax collector. His name is Matthew. And Matthew was sitting at his tax booth, you know, waiting for money. And Jesus walked to him. And Jesus just said two words to him. Follow me. Be my disciple. And the Bible tells us that Matthew immediately got up and he followed Jesus. The same Jesus that walked to Matthew, they said, follow me, comes to you also and say what? Follow me. But don't follow me because of what you can get. Some people will follow Jesus basically on what they can get. The minute they cannot get anything from Jesus, or Jesus cannot, you know, give them what they want, they say, goodbye, Jesus. Some people follow Jesus, you know, because of the promise of blessing. Some follow Jesus because of the promise of success. Some follow Jesus because of the promise of the good life and a comfort life. But Jesus wants us to follow him. He said to you and me, follow me because you want to be my disciple. That's what he told them when he called them, follow me, be my disciple. Then he told Peter and James and John, said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. You know, follow me because you want to be like what? To be like me. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, and we must never forget that we follow Jesus is because we want to be like who? To be like Jesus. That should be the core of our heart. Follow me because you confess the same confession as Peter. Peter made this confession, not just for himself, but also for the other disciple that was with Jesus. What did he confess? Peter said this in John chapter 6, verse 28 and verse 29. Master, to whom would we go? You have the word of real life. Only you have the word of real life. And not only you have the word of real life, you have the word of life. You have eternal life. I remember when I followed Jesus, it was because I know that he can forgive my sin and he can give me everlasting life. I didn't know about success, you know, or the promise of blessing. I never heard of all these things. All I know is that I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. That I'm going to hell. I need someone to save me. So I follow him. Peter was the kind of person, he said, Jesus, the reason why I follow you, you know, is because only you have real life. How many of you want real life? Real life is found only in Jesus Christ. And only real life, only you have eternal life. And we have already committed ourselves, confident that you are the Holy One of God. There is a great need for us to recognize that we follow him because only he can save us. That there is no other God except Jesus Christ. No other name above, on earth, or beneath where you can find salvation except that name, Jesus. And Peter said, this is the reason why I follow you. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, unless you follow Jesus with this reason, only you have real life, only you have eternal life, then when disappointment happens to you, when God don't answer your prayer, when you don't get what you want, sometimes we don't get everything that we want. How many realize that? Then you will say, God, the only reason I follow you is not because of what I can get. The only reason I follow you is because you are life. And in you, I find life. Now, when John chapter 6, this word of Peter was spoken, there was a great group that were following Jesus. The reason they follow Jesus is because Jesus fed the 5,000. How you may like, How do you like when you are filled and Jesus fed you and you are blessed and everything is good? It's so easy to follow Jesus. And these people were fed and say, oh, we want to follow Jesus. We don't need to work. He give us bread and fish. So they follow Jesus. But when Jesus start to say things that was difficult for them to take, things that they didn't want to hear, things that they did not expect, the Bible tells us a great multitude that followed Jesus left him. They no longer want to associate with the follow me of Jesus Christ. Follow me. I don't know about you. There's two paths that is before you. The follow me path. And the follow me path is straight and narrow. It's not going to be difficult at times. How many of you realize being Christian is not being difficult? It's not being popular. And especially in this time where we live, where the world hates Christian. That path, Jesus said, follow me. Then there's the other path, which is so common in our world, called follow what? Follow us. This path leads to life. Follow me. This path leads to destruction. But this path, called follow us, is very attractive. The voices are calling you, follow us, is very attractive, it is very convincing, it is very deceiving, very persuasive, and very tempting. My question to you, who will you follow? The follow me of Jesus or the follow us of the world? Wisdom tells you, follow me and be my disciple. So when you tell Jesus, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, Jesus will step into your life. He will step into your world, you know, and he will step into your space, and then he will say to you, I will give you moments in your life. I will put you in places where you can choose to follow me or follow us. And in those places where Jesus put you, with the follow me moment, if you follow me, these are moments where you can be like me. There are opportunities in our life where we can become like Jesus. And these are moments where you can serve like Jesus served, minister like Jesus ministered. And when those moments come to your life, and it will come to situation, to happening, when those moments come, the question is, who do you follow? Who do you want to be? Who would you portray out? I pray in those moments, you will take the command of Jesus, follow me, be my disciple, be like me. 4 Sundays, the pastoral team is going to speak on follow me moments with our grace value, generosity, relational, active, Christ-like, and excellence. We're going to use the parable or the life of Jesus, and then we're going to see how we can, you know, earnestly practice those follow me moments where we are able to shine out the light of Jesus Christ in us. Follow me. And I'll give you opportunity where you can really follow me in your life. Where you could get mad, get angry, get even, where you could kick the dog, but yet you choose to be like Jesus. Well, isn't that great? I like the word of Paul. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, concerning those follow me moments that God gives to you. He said this, He created each one of us by Jesus Christ to join him in the work he what? He does. So whose work is that? It's his work. And he does it. And how does he does it? He does it through who? Through you. Jesus said this, what I see the Father do, I do. Now you have to do this. What I see Jesus do, I follow him. He said, God has created all this work prepared for us to do. The good work he has got ready for us to do. God, get them ready. It's ready for you. If you do it, then you are ready. If you don't do it, you are not ready. Work we have better be doing. So today, in this follow me in generosity, we're going to use the parable of the generous landlord found in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to verse 16. The parable of the generous landlord. Now, what is generosity? Generosity is simply goodness giving itself without reserve. Not asking for anything back, no string attached. You are generous because you don't have any hidden agenda. That's found in the Greek English lexicon of the New Testament. Dictionary put it this way: generosity is ready to give freely, free from any smallness or pettiness of heart, mind, and character. So you want to be generous, you got to be big heart. You got to be big heart. Say amen to that. And you got to think big. But if you are always with this small mind, small mentality, small heart, so squeezed and fighting for air to breathe, you know, and your character is so small, it is hard for you to be what? To be generous. God do not want you to be a sponge. Say amen. You know what is a sponge? The only thing that you can get out of a sponge is you got to do what? You got to squeeze the sponge. Then you get something out of this sponge. You take a sponge, you put a lot of water, nothing. But when you squeeze it, all the water come out. God do not want you to be a sponge. That just, give me. I want more and more. And then only way to get out of you is to squeeze you. Generosity means you have to be what? Big-hearted. You have to be big. And it does not mean just money. It means giving attention, time, ability, compassion freely to others. So this parable that we're going to look at, you know, many commentary put this parable as the parable of the vineyard worker. And it's about wages. How many of you are happy with your wages? Put up your hand. We would like to have a little bit more. And it's about wages. And this worker that went to the vineyard, there was some happy worker, you know, and some unhappy worker. And, you know, they've been working some for hours, you know, some for 1 hour, some work for 12 hours. And they all got the same what? They all got the same pay, all got the same wages. And so many people look at this as the parable of the vineyard workers. They complaining. I don't know about you. I think Henry will agree with me. It is hard to have a complaining worker. Come in and complain about this, complain about that, every day complaining. So, I like this parable to be called the parable of the generous landlord. Because it's about this landlord. And when you look at this landlord, it's the expression of God. God is a generous landlord. And he wants us, each one of us here, to reflect the generosity. Because he is generous, he wants us to be what? To be generous. This is what he said in verse 15. Can I do what I want with my own money? Are you going to get stingy because I am generous? I don't know about you, but sometimes when you see someone that is very generous, you feel something, why they do that? Because it makes you feel what? Feel bad. Have you ever felt that way before? And so, It's about this landlord that is so generous. I look into these people and say, hey, why? Why are you angry that I'm generous? You know, you want to be stingy? Be stingy. But don't stop me from being generous. God is called the generous Father. He's a generous God. You know, and you can see that, you know, in the parable of the lost son. When the lost son came back to him, what does the father do? He generously lavished his lost son with the best robe, put a ring on his finger, saddle on his feet, killed the fat calf, and then he threw a big party for his son who is lost that came back. You know, and if this is not generosity, what is this? I want you to know one thing, brothers and sisters. God is generous, and He has been generous to us. We don't deserve His generosity. He still is generous to us. Sometimes we fail Him, we disappoint Him. He is still what? Generous to us. And here, God is generous, but then there is the elder brother. The elder brother who was stingy. How was he stingy? He was stingy in his heart, in his mind. You know, this was his character. Stinginess. Small heart, small mind, small personality. The generous father said to him, everything I have is yours. This elder brother could have used what he has for himself and others. But he was stingy. Stingy to who? Stingy to himself. And he was also stingy to who? Stingy to others. Now, there are different kinds of people in this world. There are some people who are stingy to themselves, and they are stingy to others. There are some people who are very generous to themselves, but they are very, very what? Stingy to others. I hope as a Christian, you are both. Say amen. Amen. I'm not talking about being generous and stingy. I'm talking about you are both, that you are generous to who? Yourself. And generous to others. You know, something about when you grow up from a family that is not rich. And now you are able to enjoy life. I find it hard sometimes to go and buy an ice cream that is $5. I tell myself, why don't I go and buy a tub that is $8? I come home, I can eat what? More. Because it's the way that we are brought up. We can become stingy because we saw our parents. Our parents was not very wealthy. They were trying to save every cent. So they live very simply. And now, it is possible that we are just like them. Or it could be possible we are totally what? Opposite them. Be generous to yourself and be generous to others. God is a generous God, generous towards His children. He's never stingy. Anything that is good, He will not withhold from you. He provides for you, and now He wants you to be like Him. Say the word, generous. Now, you want to be generous, your hand must be what? Your hand must be open. Generous people don't close their hand and put it in the pocket. Your hand must be open because generosity needs an open hand. And this is what Psalm 145, verse 6. It describes God's open hand policy towards us. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. God opened His hand, and He wants us to have an open hand. But the Bible is very clear. To be generous is always according to the ability, capacity, and the willingness. 2 Corinthians verse 8, 11 and 12. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable, much or little, according to what you have. If you give it what? Eagerly. If you give it joyfully. If you give it cheerfully. If you give it laughingly while you give. Not tears while you give. and give it according to what you have and not what you don't have. So generosity is always based on what you have and what you and not on what you don't have. So if someone has got more, he has to be more generous. Don't compare yourself with someone. Sometimes we compare ourselves with people and say, oh, what can I do? It's always based on what you have. You know, and not on what you hope to have. You don't beg, borrow, or steal to be generous. You are not Robin Hood. With much or with little that you have, you can still be what? Generous. So my question to you, what is in your wallet? What is in your hand? What is in your house? Use them in generosity, because generosity reflects who? Reflect the heart and the character of God. So when we look at this parable, you know, there are three keys to generosity. First key, see a need, feel a need. Look from verse 1 to verse 6. God's kingdom is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. They agreed on a wage of a dollar a day and went to work. Would not it be good, Henry? A dollar a day and went to work. Later, about 9 o'clock, the manager saw some of the people hanging around the square, the town square, unemployed. He told them to go to work in the vineyard, and he would pay them a fair wage. They went. He did the same at noon and again at 3 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, he went back and found some still standing around. He said, "Why are you standing around all day doing nothing?" They said, "Because no one hired us." He told them to go to work in his vineyard. Generosity. See a need, feel a need. This landlord is generous. He went out with purpose. He went out with action. He purposely and deliberately went out. And he went out 5 times in the morning. That is 6 a.m., at 9 a.m., at 12 p.m., at 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. Why did he went out? He went out to hire those that are unemployed. He did not sit and talk or think about the unemployed. He did not sit and wait for someone to employ them. He did not sit and hope that they will come to him for employment. He went what? He went out. To be generous, you got to go out. He went out, he saw a need. What was the need? Unemployed man. Man needs a job. And he met the need. How did he meet it? He employed the unemployed. He has the capacity. He has the ability to employ them. So he went. And he must be willing to employ them. So he went. He went out, he saw the need, unemployment, and he meet a need, employ them. Generosity is seeing a need, feeling a need. Many opportunities for generosity comes our pathway, and we miss them because we fear to go out and open our eyes to see a need. And when we see a need, we pray about it. Can someone else do it? Why no one is doing it? Have you ever heard that question? That one? The landowner arose for where he was. He went out, he saw a need, and he felt a need. He went out and hired in the morning. He went out again and saw others standing idle without work. He went out at 9, at 12 p.m., at 3 p.m., and he hired them. And then he went out and found some of them unemployed. At 5 p.m., he hired them. See, there are needs everywhere. We cannot meet all the needs. Say amen to that. God does not expect us to meet all the needs, but we do it according to our ability. And some of us may say, what is just helping one person. It's like the little boy who was walking in the, on the beach, and the tide had just left, and there was a lot of seahorse on the beach, and without the water, the seahorse would die. So he took one and he threw it into the water. He took one and he threw it into the water. He took one and he threw it in the water. And the old man saw him throwing something. So the old man came to him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, all this seahorse, the water has, you know, subsided. You know, I'm just trying to throw them back into the water." And the old man said, "You can't save all this seahorse here." But the boy said this to God, "It mattered to this one. It mattered to this one." Sometimes when we see a need, we can be overwhelmed by a need. God is too big. But let me tell you, do what you are able to do. God never asks you to do what you cannot do. You know, so he has the capacity to employ them at different hours, so he went. This generous man went out, saw a need, and then he filled that need. He is like Jesus Christ, who went about doing good, you know. And it's important for us to recognize that. Let me tell you a story about a fisherman. How many of you like to be fishermen? Nobody like to be fishermen? I must inspire you one day. I know when I talk about cycling, some of you have taken up cycling. This fisherman, you know, has all the gear, all the expensive fishing gear. He will clean the fishing rod, oil the gear, watch the video how to fish. You know, I don't know about you, but when I watch those videos and he talk about fishermen, how they catch big fish, I always get excited. Ooh, I must go and fish. And he has all the gear, you know. And he know how to fish and he know everything. But there's only one problem. You know what was the problem? He never caught a fish. And why is it that he never caught a fish? Very simple. He never went out fishing. He has the boat. He has everything. In theory, he knows everything. But he never gone up. He never gone up, and so he caught nothing. This generous landlord, he went out. Don't be like the fisherman, say amen. But I'm telling you, brother and sister, sitting among here, we are, as a fact, a Bible dictionary. We know so much. The Western church has so much information. They can even explain the Bible. But the only problem, they never go out and be like Jesus Christ. So, when you see a need, feel the need. This week, find opportunity to be generous, especially to those in the household of faith. One thing that doesn't cost much, say, "Pastor, I'm not cheapskate." Come on, say, "Pastor, I'm not cheapskate." One thing that doesn't cost much and you can be very generous with is called what? Smile. Wouldn't it be wonderful after service you go out and you smile at everybody? It doesn't cost much. But I think sometimes we are not very generous with our what? With our smile. You know, you can be generous with your smile, generous with the words of praise and appreciation, generous with your helping hand, generous with your blessing, and with your wallet. I thank God for some of you who visited Sister Celia and Anna in the hospital. Some of you are helping the senior, like Lena, Kathy, and others, and giving to the orphanage in us. And today, you give the love offering to Sharon. You know, you saw a need. You feel a need with the generosity of your heart. Why? Because there are always people who need your generosity. And your generosity can make a difference to them. So go out, look for opportunity for generosity. see a need, feel a need. Why? Because generosity makes you a happy person. How many of you want to be happy? Come on, put up. When you want to be happy, put up your hand. Now, this is a study that is made in Switch. The Switch study showed that thinking about generosity can swing your mood. Just think, wow. So you are angry with your wife, just think, be generous. Straight away. So he said that when you think about generosity, it swings your mood. But doing it, you know, when you think of being generous, it makes you happy. But if you do it, you will be happier. So, do it. The second thing about generosity is the extra mile. From verse 8 to verse 14. When the day work was over, the owner of the vineyard instructed his foreman, call the worker in and pay them their wages. Start with the last hire and go on to the first. Those hired at 5 o'clock came up and were given a dollar. I don't have a dollar. A dollar. When those who were hired first saw that they assumed they would get far more, but they got the same, each one of them $1. Taking the dollar, they got angry to the manager. These last workers put in 1 hour, one easy hour, and you just make them equal to us, who slave all day under a scalding sun. He replied to the one speaking at the rest, friend, I have not been unfair. We agree on the wages of a dollar, didn't we? Generosity is give more than one deserves. The extra mile. The world slogan is this. I usually give people more chance than they deserve. But once I am done, I am done. That's the world. They operate with law, but we are to operate with grace. And what is grace? Giving more than one deserves. The extra mile. When the time comes to pay the worker for their day work, those that work 1 hour got the same pay as those that work 12 hours, 9 hours, 6 hours, and 3 hours. They all got $1. And those who worked longer were not happy. Of course, they expected more. You know, they felt that they were shortchanged. And they said, this is not fair. So they complained, the unhappy worker. Should not I get more? The generous landlord was not paying because of what they work. He has already agreed a dollar. The generous landlord action was one of grace, not fairness. One of generosity, not fairness. You see, the world view is quite different. What is fair. It must be fair. But how many of you realize that life is not fair? But God wants us to operate with one another and with others, not like the world view, to operate generosity, not what they deserve, how much they deserve. God wants us to view generosity, the last shall be first. In our mind, in this world, it is impossible. The last is last, the first is first. And if the last one to climb up, you push them down, you hit them down, you pull them down, you don't give them a chance. That's the world. But God say, you have to be different. And the last shall be first. Not because they deserve it, because I'm generous. So the generous landlord gives the 1 hour worker the same wages, not out of fairness, out of need. Those days, they were under the Roman, and they had to pay Roman tax. If they cannot pay the tax, the Rome would take their land. So they become what? Unemployed. Men have to get work in order to put food on the table. So there were a lot of them that lost their land. The only way to survive was every morning, very early morning, they will all gather in one place waiting for the landlord to come and say, okay, I need five workers today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Have you seen movies such as that? They're all queuing up for work when there's so much unemployed, putting up their hand, come on, let me be here. So he came and he picked them. He picked them. And the end of the day, when he paid them, he did not pay them because of the amount of hours they work. His agreement was $1, but the one that works at 5 p.m. only work for 1 hour. $1 divided by 12. You know how much this guy should be paid? 0.08 something. And that 0.08 is not enough to provide for what? The family. So he is so generous that all these people who came and worked has a family, so he paid them $1 according to their need. This is an extra mile generosity. I pray that extra mile generosity fills your heart to meet the needs of others with the resources God has placed in your hand. And sometimes you may say that person is don't deserve it. But there is a need, and the family has a need. But when you practice extra mile generosity, practice according to your what? Ability and capacity. This week, when you see a need, instead of brushing off, they do not deserve it, it is not fair, ask God to help you to be extra mile generous. But do it with what? With the wisdom of God in your heart. The last point, the power of choice. Verse 15 to verse 16. Can I do what I want with my own money? Are you going to be stingy because I'm generous? Here it is again, the great reverse. Many of the first ending up last and the last first. The power of choice. He said to them, hey, I can choose to be generous or I can choose to be stingy. I have this power to make the choice of being generous or being stingy. I can be generous with what is in my hand, or I can be stingy with what is in my hand. When you believe that everything you have is yours, I own it, I have earned it, you know, then it's hard to join God in generosity. God wants us to have a generosity spirit. But the spirit of stinginess. Now, this spirit of stinginess, another name, is called greed and selfishness. Operates in smallness and pettiness of my heart and personality. It's in our fallen nature. If you watch this series, I don't know, I would call it series. How many watch Apprentice? Donald Trump, the Apprentice. Huh? The Apprentice show. How many watch that? What is his famous three words. You are fired. And he said this. Greed is all right, by the way. I think greed is healthy. You can be greedy and still feel good about yourself. But the point is that you cannot be too greedy. I tell you, when you are greedy, it will take care of you. It will eat you. It will consume you. Proverbs said this against stinginess, which is in our culture today. And we need to fight it and overcome it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 and 28. Never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is whose hand? It's God's hand for that person. That's right. When you help the person, you are God's hand. You represent God. Don't tell your neighbor, maybe some other time, or try me tomorrow when the money right there in your pocket. Don't tell your neighbor tomorrow when you have the coffee there, or when you have the tea there, or when you have the sugar there. Don't tell your neighbor tomorrow. It was within the power of the landlord to be generous or to be stingy. He chose generosity with what he has. He said, can't I do what I want with my money? Are you going to get stingy because I am generous? He was so generous that the 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m., and 5 p.m., he hired them at different times, but he paid them all at the same price, not based on what they deserve, but based on their need. Generosity. Generosity is a spirit. So is stinginess. And generosity is very contagious. Mark chapter 4, verse 25. Generosity beget generosity. When you are among generous people, you will also be what? Generous. When you are among stingy people, you will also what? Be what? Stingy. The only way to break the spirit of stinginess is what? Generosity. Generosity beget generosity. You remember Jesus need a donkey to sit on? The owner was so generous to give Jesus the donkey. And when the donkey came, the disciple took off their shirt, you know, and placed it on the donkey so that Jesus can sit it. And while Jesus was sitting on the donkey and with the disciple, you know, the rope, other people saw that the disciple had taken off their robe to place it for Jesus to sit. They themselves take off their robe and lay it on the what? On the floor. That's the power of what? Generosity. And we all have a choice to be generous or to be stingy. May you live a generous life and be generous so that your heart is glad. And you are happy. Jesus is inviting you to watch God, to pay attention to how He acts in generosity, and you to be like Him. Because generosity reminds people of God's generosity. Your generosity reminds people of God's generosity. Your generosity to forgive to those who hurt you and fail you and disappoint you, you know, reflect the generosity of God to them. This week, God said to you, follow me in generosity. I'm going to give you moments where you can be what? Generous. And when those moments come, would you be like me? Be generous as I am generous to who? To you. Can I have the worship team to come? Be generous. Our first grace value, generosity. Today, when we finish, you go out there, start practice the generosity of of smile, of kind words, of appreciation. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we stand up? Jesus said, follow me. Be like me. Follow me in generosity. Within you is the power where you can be generous or you can be stingy. You have the power to choose. It may be difficult for you. It may be against your upbringing. But you need to break it. Generous soul is a happy soul. He that refresh others will also himself be refreshed. This morning, may I encourage the church, don't be like the fisherman that has everything, knows everything, but never went out to fish. Don't just hear good sermon. Yes, I agree, that's great word, but never do it. Just one more sermon into your filing cabinet of your brain. I encourage you, practice generosity. The world is in need of generosity at your workplace, among your friends. The kind words, the affirmation, the helping hand, it goes a long way to a needy soul. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Jesus. Father, you will step into our life. You will step into our hearts. You will give us a moment where we can be generous. We want to be a generous soul, just like you are generous, to be like you. Help us, O God. Help us, O God, to reflect you wherever we go, in words and in deed. When those moments come that say, follow me, may we allow your Holy Spirit that plumb our hearts will also give us that grace and the strength to follow you and be like you. That we will reject the follow us moment, but we choose to follow you. Only you have real life. Only you have eternal life. Outside of you, we have nothing, oh God. I ask for your grace to be upon your people. Lord, those that are here, those that are watching the live stream, may the power of the Holy Spirit so quicken you that your hand is strong, your feet is strong to do the good works prepared for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.